بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد قال الله تبارك وتعالى الذين يقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون وقال تبارك وتعالى اتل ما أوحي إليك من الكتاب وأقم الصلاة إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الصلاة عماد الدين فمن أقامها فقد أقام الدين ومن هدمها فقد هدم الدين وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الصلاة نور أو كما قال عليه السلام صدق الله العظيم وبلغنا رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين الحمد لله رب العالمين Let us all recite Durood Sharif اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا مولانا محمد وبارك وسلم مولاي صل وسلم دائما ابدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم اما بعد Our respected Maulana Muhammad Venker, Hafizahullah Ta'ala, the newly appointed Imam Mufti Muhammad Akhtar, the other ulama and huffaz who are present here in this gathering, as well as our elders, brothers, mothers, sisters, and beloved children, and all the listeners of Radio Al-Ansar. First of all, I greet everyone. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As Maulana mentioned that I had actually committed to be here at the time of the official opening of the masjid, but unfortunately my misfortune that I was not able to be present. Nevertheless, now this is like a qaza program. And so, alhamdulillah, it is very, very heartwarming to be in a substation of the main powerhouse that is Baytullah. Every masjid is a substation from which the power is generated to every home. So this new substation that was established here, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is indeed very, very pleasing to be here and to see, mashallah, this part of Durban which needed a substation urgently, alhamdulillah, through the efforts of our brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it possible for the establishment of the masjid here. And now, alhamdulillah, quite appropriate that it also required an imam. And this evening, in fact, mashallah, you can say technically from this evening or by tomorrow morning, Mufti Saab will be assuming his imamat duties. And he started off already on a very important and good note. The first ball already that he bowled, mashallah, was a very good ball, and that is, he started off on the note of the importance of salah. So therefore, it also gave me some substance to speak about tonight, that the nazam that Mufti Saab recited was very appropriate and very suitable, that when a new masjid has been established, then it goes to show how this community living around here should appreciate this masjid, and they should be here, they should be doing their salahs here, they should adopt this masjid as their masjid, and they should fill the masjid, and the masjid should be right till the back serve, and people must be so grateful that before this, there was no masjid here, and now, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has afforded us a masjid right on our doorsteps, or right close by to where we are. Really, brothers, we have no idea how fortunate we are in our country that we have masajid just every few hundred meters away, and even less than that in some instances, masjids where people have choices, they have options, even the timings have been set in such a way to make it convenient for people. You miss salah in one masjid, you can make it to the next masjid. The other masjids around, they keep their times slightly different so that people can make it for salah to a particular masjid not far away from their home. We are literally walking distance away from many of the masajid, or a very short drive away. Compare this to other countries of the world. Ya Allah, there are no masjids kilometers and kilometers and kilometers in any direction. If they have, they may be having one small musalla that can accommodate a few people. That is all. But we are so fortunate that we don't only have musallas, they are mashallah, but we have fully fledged masajid. A proper constituted masjid in accordance with Islamic law, what is declared a masjid, a house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have these on our doorstep, and we are very fortunate. And the community that appreciates Allah's favors, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase it, and He will keep these favors going for them. But may Allah save us from that day when the favors of Allah are pouring down on us and we are turning our backs on Allah's favor. That will be a very, very unfortunate day for us. May Allah save us from such a day. One of that would be that the masjid is right there, and instead of frequenting the masjid for salah, we are missing salah, we're not reading salah in the masjid, and we are seeing the true appreciation for the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on our doorsteps. So let us not be that community that a masjid is there, and despite the fact that a masjid has been established, we don't give due regard to the masjid. The only time we see people then flocking to the masjid is Ramadan time. And then 27 night, mashallah, masjid is jam-packed and full to capacity. Maybe the last 10 nights of Ramadan, you see a lot more people. First 1-2 nights, you see a lot of people. Then the last 10 nights, especially 27 night. Then Ramadan is over. As they say, the moon appears and the musallis disappear. The moon appears and the musallis disappear. So it should not be like that. Because you wonder now, I used to ask in the masjid that what happened, did people move away from this area after Ramadan? They all packed up and moved to another part of the town because they were all here. Now where are they gone to? They haven't gone anywhere, but just that they're gone away from the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that should not be our condition. Our condition should be that we are attached to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout the year. We must have our attachment to the house of Allah throughout the year. There are seven people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give the shade of His arsh on the day of Qiyamah, when there will be no shade but the arsh of Allah. It will be blazing hot, there will be no shade. People will be standing in the blazing sun. In this day and age, if a person has to stand 10-15 minutes in the sun, we're already finished, dehydrated and everything. We can't take it in the sun. It's too hot for us to stand even for a few minutes in the sun. Imagine 50,000 years to be standing in the sun. May Allah give us the shade on that day of Qiyamah. One of the ways of gaining, there are seven people. We won't go into the details of all of the seven. But one of the seven fortunate ones is رَجُلٌ قَلْبُهُ مُعَلَّقٌ بِالْمَسْجِدِ. That person whose heart was attached to the masjid. To have attachment to the masjid. His heart is attached to the masjid. In other words, he loves the masjid. He waits for every opportunity to be at the masjid. He wants to spend time in the masjid. He feels at peace in the masjid. He feels like he's a fish in the water when he's in the masjid. Unlike that person that he just feels like he's a bird in a cage and he just wants to disappear. This person enjoys the atmosphere of the masjid. He enjoys the calm of the masjid. He enjoys the peace and tranquility and the spirituality of the masjid. And he wants to be in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah make us those people that qalbuhu mu'allakun bil masjid. The person whose heart is attached to the masjid. So it is a very big favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that these masajid have been established. This is a brand new masjid, mashallah. In an area that required a masjid, and it's very, very beautifully located too. Just off the entry highway, you can just zip in and zip out, like they say. You know, for salah, you are rushing, there's heavy traffic on the highway, there's heavy traffic on the motorway, salah time, especially in winter now, asr, maghrib, isha, the times come very quick succession. So you want to be, you know, able to, you're going out towards the outlying areas, suburbs, you're in your car, you're wondering and worried now, where will I get my salah? And alhamdulillah, here's a masjid right off the highway. In a minute you can be in the masjid, in a minute out of the masjid, alhamdulillah, in terms of the location. And the area is an area that needed a masjid for a long, long time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala build palaces for the people who contributed to this masjid. Allah build them and grant them palaces in Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect this masjid and keep it abad always till the day of Qiyamah. The lands of the masjids are so sacred that all other lands on the earth will perish and will disappear. But the lands of the masjids will be gathered and they will be transported to Jannah. The lands of the masjid will also form part of the lands of Jannah. Allahu Akbar. Can we imagine how important the land of the masjid is? This very land where the masjid has been now established. We won't say constructed because it was constructed from before, but it's been established on this land. This land will now be joined with all the lands of all the masjids on the earth throughout Africa, Europe, Asia, America, South America, Arabia, Australia. All these lands upon which a masjid stood, they all will be gathered and accumulated, and these lands will be transported to Jannah, and they will constitute part of the lands of Jannah. This is one of the great fazilat and virtues of the masjid. So technically, as if we are standing in Jannah when we are in a masjid, because this is the land that will also be going into Jannah, insha'Allah ta'ala. So, mashallah, Mufti Sahab read on the importance, a beautiful rendition of a nazam on the importance of salah. Because that is the purpose of a masjid. To establish salah, to read our 5 times salah in congregation, the rewards are multiplied 27 times as compared to reading salah on our own. A person reads salah on his own, his rewards are diminished 27 times. Reading with jamaat, a person's rewards are multiplied by 27. So alhamdulillah, the masjid is also helping us to increase our revenue of the akhirah, to multiply our rewards. If there wasn't a masjid and we were reading salah individually, we would not have got the reward that we get by reading in congregation, especially in a masjid. The rewards are multiplied. So this is an additional favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is helping us to multiply our rewards by reading in jama'at, by reading in congregation, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. So, therefore, it was appropriate and suitable that the nazam was relating to the importance of salah. And the poet puts it across so beautifully when he says, Allah ke huzur mein, sar ko jhuka ke dekh, milta hai kya namaz mein, sajde mein ja ke dekh. That, O believer, bow your head down before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then see for yourself what you get out of namaz. And prostrate yourself before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in salah and see what you get out of that sajda. Subhanallah. What we get out of salah, what we get out of sajda, it is something that only the person who is in the habit of salah and who knows about salah and who finds peace in salah will tell you how they enjoy that salah, how they enjoy that sajda. Because it is mentioned in the narrations that the person who makes sajda, it is as if he has placed his feet, his head upon the feet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not in the literal sense, obviously. But it means that he has now bowed down to his creator and he has drawn so close to his creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What a great thing it is that in sajda, a person is closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As in Surah Iqra, it's an ayat of sajda, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the fact that, so all of us, inshallah, after I read, after the program or whenever, remember to do this ayat of sajda, wasjud waqtarib. Wasjud waqtarib. Make sajda and draw close. Make sajda and draw close. A person draws close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in sajda. The fastest way to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is through sajda. We prostrate ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We put our head down on the feet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so to say. And we draw close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the peace that a person gets in this posture of sajda is something you cannot describe. When you're feeling low, you're feeling down, you're feeling out, you're feeling depressed, you're feeling worried, you're feeling anxious, you got concerns, you got worries, what do you do? Bow down before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in sajda. And keep your head in sajda. And feel Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is coming down upon you. And after a while, you'll feel that the weight has been lifted off you and you feel a deep inner peace settling down in your heart. That is the sajda. This is that posture that makes a person, lightens the burdens of a person. By the way, even from the medical point of view, which is not the objective, but it is a side benefit. From the medical point of view, the longer a person keeps his head down in sajda, the better it is for his health. Because it brings a rush of blood to the brain. And the brain gets, otherwise gravity pulls blood downwards. Gravity pulls the blood downwards, so the blood is more circulating the lower end of the body. But if we want that blood to reach the brain, then the sajda posture is the best posture to get the blood circulating and reaching the brain. And that brain gets nourished and it is extremely beneficial and healthy for a person. And a person who keeps his head in sajda for a lengthy period of time, you will feel the blood rushing and your brain cells are nourished with that blood that reaches there. And not only that, but the ulama have even mentioned that it is a way of enhancing even the beauty of a person when a person makes lengthy sajda and the blood rushes to his facial areas. This actually enhances the appearance of a person. Allahu Akbar. So therefore, that person, wo khush naseeb hai, jise manzoor hai namaz, Momin ki paak rooh ka ek noor hai namaz. That person is very lucky and fortunate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided him to salah. And he has become a namazi. He's now become a namazi. You can have a Muslim, but he's not necessarily a namazi. And then you have a Muslim, mashallah, he's also a namazi. He's reading his salatu. He's a musalli too. Subhanallah, this is a special person. And it is the light of the ruh and the soul of a believer to be in salah. And the person, shaitan ki pon se bahut dur hai namaz, dil ko khuda ki yaad ka maskan bana ke dek. Milta hai kya namaz mein sajde mein ja ke dek. Allahu Akbar. Shaitan can't get a grip on the musalli. He tries to grab everyone. He wants to pull everyone down with him into Jahannam. May Allah save us from him. Quran says, إِنَّ شَيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًا إِنَّمَا يَدْعُوا حِزْبَهُ لِيَكُونُوا مِنْ أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ. Shaitan is your enemy. Take him as your enemy. Don't befriend him. Don't make him your friend. He is the one who wants to make you from the people of the fire. He wants to drag you down with him into the fire of Jahannam. He doesn't want to go there alone. He wants to take as many people, and he took an oath to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. Shaitan's, his mission is to take people down with him into fire of Jahannam, as many as he can. Because this is his hatred for the children of Adam. He has a inbred hatred for the children of Adam. And it is his mission to take them with him to fire of Jahannam. And that is why now Hajj days are right around the corner, alhamdulillah. It's a matter of just now already the Hujjaj have landed. Plane loads have already reached there, mashallah. May Allah grant all the Hujjaj Hajj Mabroor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them accepted Hajj and easy Hajj. Brothers are not even saying Ameen. MashaAllah. We'll get a sawab, inshallah, of the Hajis by saying, making dua for them. We also will get thrown in, even if we are not going. Allahumma fil lil Hajj wa liman istaghfara lahu al Hajj. Oh Allah, forgive the Haji and the person on behalf of whom the Haji is seeking forgiveness. Allahu Akbar. We will be sitting at home, but we will be cashing in on the du'as of the Haji. Our forgiveness will be made by the du'as of the Haji. And the Haji's du'a of forgiveness will be made on our du'a too. Both sides are winning. Shaitan is losing. Shaitan is the big loser in Hajj. Because Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw the shaitan on the day of Arafah. That he was looking very, very distressed and very depressed. And he was taking sand and pouring it over his head in regret. And he was lamenting that I spent years of my life deviating these people and making them do every kind of wrong and sin. And in one instance here in Arafah, Allah forgave the sins of a lifetime. My whole effort of a lifetime went down the drain. So shaitan is seen most disgraced and humiliated on the day of Arafah, like no other day in the year. Allahu Akbar. And then comes the days after that, our day of Arafah. After he's disgraced in Arafah, more disgrace is awaiting him in the days after that. 10, 11, 12, and even 13 for those who stay behind 6 days of Hajj or 5 days of Hajj. Now the shaitan is chained to the pillars. A lot of people think now we stoning the shaitan, but we don't see, we only seeing a pillar there. And we sing Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, Rajmali Shaitan, Warizali Rahman. You can see, just see the hands are moving and the stones are flying. But what we're not seeing, nothing. In reality, the shaitan is chained to the pillars. And when we are stoning, we are not stoning the pillar alone, we are stoning the shaitan. And the mere act of stoning, just the throwing of the stone, there's no need to use excessive force and all that. Some people take their champal and they take the They take like a half breed and they're taking, you know, umbrellas and they want to hit, you know, get the vent their frustration and anger on the shaitan. That doesn't harm the shaitan. But what harms him is in the sunnah way, when the stone is thrown at him. That hurts him because now he's being disgraced and humiliated by millions of Muslims. Days before that, they were his buddies. They were his, like we would say, chommies. They were his buddies. They were doing what he was asking them to do. And suddenly the same people turned against him now. Allahu Akbar. Now they are the ones who are stoning him. And when we do the rami of the jamarat, it is a statement that is being made, not in words, but in action, that shaitan, from this moment till now, till we leave this world, our friendship is broken, finished. You are on another way, we are on another way. We have broken our friendship. We will not listen to you anymore after this day. That is the meaning of that statement. That statement means that we have cut ties with you now for forever. And so the shaitan is tied up there and he's being stoned. The tenth of Zulhijjah, there's the big shaitan, in other words, the third shaitan, Jamaratul Aqaba. And then the next day, all three shaitans. The following day, all three shaitans. Then those who stay for the additional day, 6 days of Hajj. Then all three shaitans again. And the Hajis are reading Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, taking Allah's name, Rajman li Shaitan, bestoning the Shaitan, wa rizal li Rahman, and we are seeking the pleasure of Rahman. Allahumma jalu Hajj mabrura, make it an accepted Hajj. So Allahu Akbar. So therefore, the poet says here that Shaitan can't grab the non-Musallis. He cannot get a grasp and a He can't get his, you know, his grip on those who are Musallis, because they are too strong for him, they are too powerful for him. Every time they did something wrong, they come to the masjid, they made wuzu, they read salah, sins are forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they come back onto the track. They may have went a little bit off track, but namaz brings them back on track so quickly that shaitan has no way of grabbing them, or grasping them, or gripping them, or keeping them in his grip. They slip out of his grip. Every time he tries to grip them, they slip out of his grip. And then it goes on further to say, Munkar nakir qabr mein poochenge jab hisab, degi namaz khud hi namaz ke sab jawab. Allahu Akbar. When the angels will question him in the grave regarding all the things of his life, and answering to them, then he won't have to reply, but the namaz will speak on his behalf. Now how will namaz speak on his behalf? How will namaz speak on his behalf? So the answer to that is what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in the Hadith Sharif. He said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will personify all his good deeds. There will be a personification of his good deeds. Namaz will assume the form of a very handsome, very beautiful, very strong companion to him, and will stand at his headside. And zikr and knowledge and charity, all these will be personified into people, and they will be standing around him in his qabr to protect him from the azab in whichever direction it may be coming. And then the namaz will answer on his behalf the questions. You know, like they have that bumper sticker, don't talk to me, talk to my lawyer. Don't talk to me, talk to my lawyer. You got a problem? Don't talk to me, talk to my lawyer. So namaz will become the lawyer of the person in the qabr, Allahu Akbar. And Quran will become his lawyer on the day of Qiyamah. Quran will speak on his behalf on the day of Qiyamah. Namaz will speak on his behalf in the qabr. اس رب ذو الجلال کی مرضی ہے نماز بخشش کی اور نجات کی سیڑھی ہے نماز Namaz is the way of attaining the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is the staircase. It is a staircase to forgiveness and salvation. Once you get onto the staircase, you are heading in the direction of forgiveness and salvation. And darwaze behesht ki kunji hai namaz. Namaz is the key to the door of Jannah. As Nabi Kareem said, this is all based on hadith. This poetry that the poets compose is an actual fact. It is just taking the words of Quran and hadith and putting it in poetry form. Because Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-wuzu miftahu salah wal-salatu miftahu al-jannah. Salah is the key to Jannah. And wuzu is the key to salah. So we need the key to open the lock of Jannah. And what is the key that will open the lock of Jannah? The key to open the lock of Jannah is salah. And wuzu is the key that will open the lock of salah. Allahu Akbar. How fortunate we are that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the key to Jannah. We already have the ability to own that key. But if we throw the key away ourselves, then who is to be blamed? If we throw the key away, who is to be blamed? We are to be blamed. Therefore, let us attach ourselves to namaz. Let us attach ourselves to salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave all the orders of Islam on this earth. The rules came down in Medina, in Makkah. The rules were revealed in the Quran. The rules and regulations came down on this earth. But when it came to salah, when it came to salah, was it given on earth? Was the rules of salah given on earth? No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called His beloved to the seventh sky and beyond, and that is where the gift of salah was given. It tells us where the origin of salah is, beyond the Sidratul Muntaha and beyond the seven heavens. That is where salah was ordained and given as a gift to our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to his ummah. That is where salah came from there. And therefore salah will take us there. And as salatu mi'rajul mu'min, like mi'raj of beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam took place in physical and spiritual form put together, the believer also has a miniature mi'raj, not in physical form, but at least a spiritual form, where he goes up into the skies and beyond in ecstasy and joy when he's reading his salah with concentration and devotion. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this gift there, beyond the seven heavens. Every other order came on earth, but this order was there in the sky. And so that tells us the importance of salah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordained 50, but then on the intercession of Musa alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reduced it and reduced it and reduced it until it became 5. Musa alayhi salam wanted even more reduction, but beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi salam said, no, now I feel embarrassed to go, and I hope my ummah will not disappoint me and they will read their 5 daily salah. May Allah Ta'ala make us of those who will uphold this wish of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that we will not disappoint him as his ummah with regards to our attachment to salah. Jibreel alayhi salam came down after the order of salah came, and he led Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in salah for 2 days. The first day, salah was read in the awal time. Second day, the salah was read in the akhir time. And he said, between these 2 times is the times of 5 daily salah. The salah was taught by Jibreel alayhi salam to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We can see how important salah is in the life of a believer. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill this masjid with musallis. May Allah make us musallis. Fill our dying breath. That our concern should be for salah always. Therefore it is said that when a person passes away, then it appears in his qabr that it is close to sunset. This is the settings of the qabr. The setting of the qabr is like there's a dim light and it is as if it's sunset, close to sunset. And when the angels come to question him, if he was a namazi, he will say to them, wait, my namaz is going, my asr, I haven't read my asr salah, let me go read my asr salah. Such will be his attachment to salah that he won't even know he's in the qabr, and he will not even know that these are the angels that came to question him. His concern will be about salah. I mustn't miss my asr salah today. Look at how it's almost sunset time. What happened? Did I oversleep or something? Not realizing that he went into another type of sleep, the sleep of death. And that now he's not in this world, he's another world where there's no laws applicable now. He's in a world of alamul barzakh. And he's in the intermediate world, he's not in the alamul dunya, in this world. But he will still think that I'm in this world, so I have to read my salah. And he'll think these are some strangers, so he's telling them, just give me a break, I want to go and read my salah. Then they will say to him, no. Now there's no salah here. You have come to question you. But they will see from his reaction already that this person now is a musalli. Therefore the questioning will be very, very, very gentle to him. And they will ask him very gently, and he will answer the questions very easily. And then he will sleep like a bride in the first night. As Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that nam ka nawmatil arus. That is how a person will have a peaceful, beautiful sleep in his qabr, because he worked hard in this world. Now is the time for him to sleep and rest. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us those fortunate ones that till the end of our life, we are musallis and we are in salah and we attach to salah, and till the last breath we are reading our salah. Salah is so important that even if a person is in hospital or he's sick at home, he's in bed, he can't get off the bed, he can't get up to even sit up in the bed, but he's lying in his bed, he's in his sick bed, salah is still to be performed. You still have to perform salah. How is he going to perform salah? He'll make tayammum. He can have a tayammum stone there. Tayammum is a very simple, easy way. You just hit the stone and you rub it over your face. You hit the stone, you rub it over your two arms. Tayammum is done. It's the replacement of wudu. You don't have to even get water, wash your face, wash your feet, because he might not even be able to do so much. And if it's difficult, somebody can even help him to make tayammum. And then he reads salah. Now he can't get off the bed. He can't even sit up in the bed. He can't stand. He's now flat in the bed. Now how is he going to read salah? Now it will be said, you're still going to read salah. But this salah will be the salah of ishara. The salah of indications. With your indication you will read salah. You will indicate with your head. Just slight movement of the head. If you move your head slightly, that's your ruku. You move your head again slightly, that's your sajda. Allahu Akbar. And you made your salam. And that is your salah. In your bed, even in hospital, even in, you know, in high care, as long as you are conscious and you are awake, you can even read your salah in that condition. You can read your salah in that condition. And the salah has to be read in those circumstances. So when a person is healthy, well, strong, fit, Allahu Akbar, what excuse can we present not to read salah? What excuse can we give? No excuse can work. There's no excuse that can work. Therefore, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq that we hold tight to salah and we draw from Allah's treasures through salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran many places. According to some ulama, more than 80 places Allah mentions in the Quran. وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَالْمُقِيمِينَ الصَّلَاةَ وَالْمُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ وَأَقَامَ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَ الزَّكَاةَ. Allah combines these two commands of salah and zakah together in over 80 places in the Quran. Some ulama have given the beautiful explanation for this, such a beautiful explanation, that what is the connection between salah and zakah? One is they are both pillars of Islam, we all know that. But beyond that, what is the connection between salah and zakah? The connection is amazing. With salah, we take from the treasure of Allah. And with zakah, we give from the treasure of Allah. Allahu Akbar. Like they say in Urdu, ek haath se lo, dusre haath se do. Ek haath se lena, dusre haath se dena. You taking with one side, and you giving on the other side. We take from Allah's treasure through salah, and through zakah we distribute the treasures of Allah. We draw from the treasure of Allah and we distribute from the treasure of Allah. This is the amazing connection between salah and zakah. Therefore, the person who reads his salah properly as he's supposed to read it, then he will always have enough that he will even have to give from that wealth which is coming to him. He'll have to give because he's gaining, he's getting, so he has to be giving also at the same time. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. Inshallah, just Mubarak night. So inshallah, we'll have the Qasida Burda also recited, which is a very beautiful poetry in praises of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and which entails the durood and salam upon beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So inshallah, Hafiz Muhammad Sidat will render for us some couplets from Qasida Burda, which is a very lengthy Qasida of 10 chapters beginning to end, many, many hundreds of stanzas in Qasida Burda. But inshallah, he will just read a few select stanzas for us to get the barakah on this great and Mubarak night.